Middle of the week, still hanging out here in Allen Park. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park. We got deadline news to discuss. Scooble stays. Flaherty goes. John, you have something you wanted to surprise us with, though.
Yeah, we've got a big family event today. First of all, three of the kids are going to be down at training camp today. They're going to join us, not on the show, but later on.
I'll say what time? I didn't plan for that.
Yeah, 9 o'clock hour. They're going to be down here because they want to meet one. Jim Cookies Costa. They've never met him in person. They see the morning photos that I send.
Mm-hmm.
This afternoon. No, so Teddy and Lisa may, but our afternoon event, because it's going to be a big day for Teddy, he may need to have a relaxed morning. We are making the trip, as we do every couple of years, because we love the state of Michigan. We love everything around Michigan. We're heading up to Frankenmuth and Bronner's.
Oh, yay!
Today, this afternoon.
Hey, you should take him.
I don't know. I have enough kids coming with me.
What does that mean?
exactly. We're heading up to, and the whole thing about getting Teddy to go to bed last night was, hey, you're going to get a chance to see Santa Claus today.
Is
Christmas.
Santa there?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
but he'll see it. There'll be plenty of there's the big statue of Santa and all of that.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're excited about heading up that way this afternoon to get our Christmas in July. Last day of July. So
that's exciting.
Pressure's on, Mr. Costa.
Yeah, how many times will you go to Bronner's before
I
go to
Teddy?
Bronner's?
Oh, yeah. How many times
Teddy?
Will Teddy?
Yeah, Teddy. Well, Teddy's
Bronner's.
Already been there a couple of times.
Yes.
But, yeah, this will be.
How many times? How old is he? He's not even 3 years old, right?
Brooks has been to Bronner's. We took him, he was a week old, and we went to Bronner's to get him his first Christmas ornament.
Yep. This will be the 2024 Christmas ornament ordering session so that they're here in time for Christmas.
So I'm being shamed by two different toddlers.
Yes, you are.
As we start
infant.
The show today. Yeah. Well, yeah, basically infants.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. John, the deadline. We wanted to know how would Scott Harris do. And at about 5:55.
Oh, still scrolling Twitter.
Still waiting up until the last couple minutes to see that dread filling your body going, he's going to screw this up again.
Because we saw Canna. We saw Chafin. We just wondered what is going to happen with Scooble. That was the big news we were waiting for. And most of us thought that's not going to happen.
No.
But it was obviously Jack Flaherty. And then we get the news. I would love. I didn't want to ask last night. I didn't text you what your thoughts are because I wanted to hear it this morning as you tell everybody because of the Astros deal yesterday. And you mentioned, hey, if that's the starting point, that's the asking price, the return. Now your thoughts on the return that they got from the Dodgers for Jack Flaherty.
So first things first, I think Scott Harris avoided catastrophe because he did move Flaherty. I think if they failed to move him, I know they could have gotten a comp pick at the end of the year. It would have been a catastrophe to not get something right now, someone closer to the big league level, with Jack Flaherty in the market. They avoided catastrophe. They moved him. The return, almost universally by anybody not named Scott Harris, was underwhelming.
Not thrilled.
Right. And you heard in the update his response to the question about whether or not the Astros deal was better. I would prefer what the Tigers got than what the Blue Jays got from this standpoint. Lorenzo, the catcher, is the highest ceiling player traded in either deal.
Right.
I got a buddy who is in Midland who has seen him play, so this isn't just, hey, me trying to shine a turd. He's 21 years old. He's a switch hitting catcher. He's got a good arm. He's got good power.
Or polished one.
Yeah. He's in a spot where he's still young, still a wild card, but he plays a premium position, and he was a really good hitter in low A, and I was told this is a normal high A adjustment period that he's going through. So I do think he's a higher ceiling player than anybody the Astros gave up. I understand trying to get the highest ceiling player when you're dealing with prospects. This is a better return than the Astros. I think the criticism is how much better. Is it only slightly better? Because Flaherty's not slightly better than Kikuchi, and they were both rentals. There are questions about Scott Harris walking it up to the deadline again, getting an underwhelming return, and according to Evan Petzl to the Free Press, setting a market at up till 90 minutes before the deadline that was unrealistic.
Yeah.
And not getting what he was asking for at the end of the day and having to settle for this, an underwhelming return by people not named Scott Harris. Again, he has his own bias. He loves the guys he got. I would hope so. I think he avoided catastrophe. I think the return is fine. It's not something I want to beat him up for today. I mean, of all the criticisms I have of Scott Harris, that individual trade I don't actually think is that bad. It's actually depending on how Lorenzo goes, reasonable. Lorenzo's a top 100 player in Fangraphs prospects, and he's the number three prospect in the Dodgers system, according to Baseball America. So they didn't get some know-nothing, you know, Hail Mary guy. This guy seems to be a respected piece that the Tigers got back.
Yeah, and I went back and forth. Initially, I was more disappointed initially this year than I was last year. Even though they didn't get anything for Erod, I didn't necessarily put all of that on him. Yes, he didn't have the backup plan, and I don't want to, you know, get through that whole thing. But that was a contract that he didn't sign, that he didn't have, that, but he was forced to deal with in the no trade clause. This one, I just felt like they were going to get more in return for production sooner. Yeah. Now, Sweeney is a guy that I think will be on the roster next year, is a guy that can be.
I think he's McKinstry's replacement. I don't want to overstate
what he is. Yeah.
He's a lefty shortstop who can play every so often.
Right. But he's a guy I think will be on the big league roster. And then when you start thinking about, you know, the number eight overall prospect, you get a little bit excited because it's a high guy and somebody else's, and he's versatile. He could be a catcher. And behind the plate, I mean, he's got an above-average arm.
Yes.
You know, and he's working on some accuracy down to second base, down to third base, all of that stuff. But I am excited about that. The bat, either bat, doesn't really feel like there's much help on the way when we're starting to talk about the core of this team. So just underwhelmed is kind of what I thought in regards to what I was hoping for, and I was giving him, we got into it a little bit at the end of yesterday's show. I'm like, hey, just wait and see. It doesn't have to match, doesn't have to be exactly. I just was underwhelmed because he was the top trade piece, other than Skubal.
Yeah.
Scott Harris had the top two trade pieces, decided not to move one in Skubal, which I am 100% supporting, and I'm all for, but I thought he would get more in return, more bats that would be an instant impact next year.
Yeah, so when we got our final word in yesterday, I said I wanted them to keep Skubal, trade Flaherty, get bats.
Yeah.
By definition, they did that. So I don't want to, you know, go back on that and be a hypocrite and yell and scream today. I don't want to be heavy-handed. I think Harris achieved the baseline expectation that I had for this team. Skubal, you're keeping him. Here's the thing, though. Keeping Skubal was always my want, my desire, because I wanted to win in 2025.
Yeah.
And I realize the World Series not happening overnight, but more competitive in 2025, an honest push for a wild card spot, honest competition in the American League Central. Keeping Skubal should mean you follow through next season. But everything Harris said yesterday, he didn't want to talk about timelines and 2025, and we still got to finish this season. Well, Scott, here's the deal. Finishing this season, you got a two-man rotation, and Riley Green's injured. It's going to be an ugly finish to the season. I don't want to hear about momentum in the organization. You're going to show me momentum in the winter, or we're going to look back at this and go, you got a 21-year-old catcher who fits the McGonagall-Clark timeline, but you're not going to be competitive in 25, so what the hell was the point in keeping Skubal? I think there's a bigger question still there.
Oh, there's a ton of more questions that need to be answered, and it's going to be about the follow-through, and we originally thought the follow-through meant if Flaherty wasn't traded, they would extend him, they would go out and get some bats, because you've got a pitching rotation that you can really build around in the coming years. Now with Flaherty gone, you're looking, well, okay, what are they now going to do on the mound? What are they going to do? And yes, they can go out and sign another guy for a year or a two-year contract.
They probably will.
They're going to have to.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that there are the arms that you want to have in your rotation as, you know, who's going to follow Skubal in the rotation. I don't know that it's going to be Casey Mize, and we'll talk about him a little bit later and his move to the 60-day DL for a roster spot.
Not happy.
No, I'm curious as to what the follow through will be. How is he going to add to the rotation along with still adding bats to the lineup?
248-539-9797. You guys get your first chance to react to the deal. It's going to be talked about all day on the station. Did they get enough for Jack Flaherty? Skubal was not moved. Are you okay with that? And then just kind of your feeling on Scott Harris. Because we said this was a big deadline for Scott Harris. And again, he waited till the last minute. Underwhelming return. Did he overplay his hand? Is this a theme now for this Tigers president of baseball operations, because that becomes a bigger concern. The return for Flaherty was fine. I don't have a huge issue with it. It's the bigger picture stuff that I don't think you got any reassurance
well,
on.
Well, and I also wanted to know more from Scott Harris in regards to why was there no – we always hear rumors, right? And rumors are – you got to take them for what they are. It doesn't necessarily mean there's based fact behind it, but there was no smoke about the continued conversation with Baltimore. There was no smoke about continued conversation with the Yankees.
Well, there was a report that they didn't like his medicals, Flaherty's.
Right.
That was Rosenthal, yeah.
So, I mean, that's – and how much did the medicals – I know he addressed that a little bit.
He said he's healthy.
Right, and but he also said, hey, it's their issue, not ours, because they're the ones that are trading for him. So they're not. He's not going to talk about how they viewed Jack Flaherty and the injections in the back. And but it's. I just felt, are the Dodgers the only team that he can work with? I mean, that's what we saw with Erod last year.
Because they were going to bail his ass out at the end of the day last year.
And is that the only team that he has, quote-unquote, a relationship with to be able to work a deal? Because it obviously didn't work out with Baltimore, didn't work out with the Yankees, and if it's medicals, that's fine. But I just felt, and we talked about this, creating a desperate market. You had the top two arms on the market to be able to sell, and I don't know that he was able to generate that desperation from any of the teams, and he settled for being able to unload him to the Dodgers, and he got a fine return. It's just underwhelming.
My impression of Scott Harris is he's slow playing. Slow playing the direction of this baseball team, slow playing even on deadline day up until the very last minute. He's slow playing everything. And I think urgency is something that fans want to see. That doesn't mean you have to get reckless or, as he put it, cut corners yesterday. But this idea of, can we see a little more urgency from the organization?
Right, patience.
Yeah.
And patience is a virtue. We've seen patience here at Allen Park with Levi Onwuzurike, with Emmanuel Mosley, guys that have been banged up, drafting J-Mo, knowing that he wasn't going to produce as a rookie, drafting Manu in the third round, knowing that he's a developmental guy,
sure.
Broderick Martin. We've seen patience, but we've also seen patience for the Lions pay off.
Right.
Now we need to see that patience. And I know we're only, what, two trade deadline years into the Scott Harris experience, but we're all tired of patience. We're preached patience from the Wings, patience from the Tigers, patience from the Pistons, and it's just exhausting.
And I'll say this. We want to have Scott Harris on. That is something that, just being honest with you guys, we want to hear from him on our station, on our show. We want to be able to ask follow-up questions. I thought he was very careful and guarded yesterday and not overly transparent with the general media yesterday following the trade deadline. We want to know what you really think of Scott Harris. 248-539-9797. John, they're pacing to have about the same number of wins as a year ago, and while they have some good stories in Cole Keith, they have some catastrophes in Spencer Torkelson, they're spinning their tires right now. They're going to have to spend some money while Tarek Skubal's still here, and they made the choice to keep him. They traded Jack Flaherty, which is what I wanted to see. I wanted them to get bats. In return, they got a guy who's in the futures game, who's a top 100 prospect on Fangraphs, but he's in high A. He's not exactly right around the corner, not a move of urgency. And I think people were a little nervous watching Harris walk it up to the deadline again and get what many experts are calling underwhelming given the market.
And, I mean, it's the one pushback we always get, and we're going to get to calls. We got plenty of them to get to. We got a lot of text messages, and I'm curious the reaction, but it's – everybody's ready for a step forward now.
Yeah.
They don't want to wait until 26 or 27, the Max Clark timeline. They want improvements now while you are developing these guys. And you mentioned it early in the year. You've been on it all season long.
Both.
Why can't you do both? And I think that is the concern, especially with the return that you got from Jack Flaherty, that it still feels like their timeline, the Tigers' timeline, even though he does come out and say, we're working hard. I have no doubt that they're working hard.
Sure.
It's that their timeline, their level of patience is completely different than the fans. And it is pushing it out to 26, where you will be in the final year of Tarek Skubal's contract.
Which is why the question was brought up, would you consider trading him? They said they were never close to trading him. It's possible that they never were even offered Jackson Holliday, therefore there never really was a trade to engage in. I understand that. Let's get to Mike and Flint. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. I think Scott Harris is just a boring GM. With what we got for Flaherty, I think we just have to start Trey Sweeney as our shortstop and look for the future. I mean, his batting average is probably better than Javier Baez, OBP.
It's hard not to be at this point. But he's a Band-Aid, Sweeney. I don't want to get anybody's hopes up. But to your point, a Band-Aid would be an upgrade at that spot. Nope, he's gone. All right. Great. We can read some ticket texts because people have thoughts on what's happened so far. Ticket texter says, Harris talked about cutting corners, taking shortcuts is bad. It seems like they're gaslighting terms. Scott, you have to specifically define your decision-making process, something he's been unwilling to do.
Well, and that's why, you know, you mentioned yesterday with the general media, he was, I don't want to say evasive. Yeah, guarded is a good way to put it. And like, what is the timeline? What is your vision? Well, all we hear is, well, we don't want to block guys because we want them to be able to develop. We want to find what our core is. Well, what is the timeline? Because you can't just sit here and wait for prospects all the time. I don't believe that's a great theory.
Not
exclusively. Now, if you can develop, if you can do something the Tigers haven't been able to do, and that's develop position players, develop bats in the minor league system, great. But in the process, why do we have to sit here and watch mediocre to bad baseball? Because I don't know what it is that we have to look forward to in August and September, because other than once every 5 days, we get a chance to see Tarek Skubal pitch.
Yeah, the rest of the season, they got a two-man rotation. Riley Green's injured. I mean, the momentum that he's talking about right now, I think, is going to be laughable when the season's over. You'll point to Cole Keith. Wenzel Perez, I guess, has solidified himself as a major league ball player for the time being. I don't see this like overwhelming wave of momentum that he talks about and how healthy the organization is. You got some dudes in low and high A now,
yeah,
who may eventually, one of them or maybe hopefully two of them, turn out to be a major leaguer or an all-star. That's not exactly
in 26 and 27, and that's the when they arrive,
yeah.
Not just the all-star level that you would hope they could aspire to.
Texter says, strike two. Scott Harris was schooled by the league's GMs. They called his bluff. Harris may be good at the draft, but so far he's over his skis in the trade marketplace, Ben in Kalamazoo. It does feel like they called his bluff. All the reports are his asking prices were high. Nobody wanted to meet him. At the last second, he took whatever he could get. That's not encouraging for a guy's ability to build a market and get the most out of teams who are needing starting pitching.
Right, and so you can have that asking price, and you can value your guys at a certain level. I love the fact that he is not just going to give them away, but, you know, when you get 5-6 days away from the trade deadline, now all of a sudden you got to start gauging the market and say, okay, well, if we're anticipating this level of player being traded for a Jack Flaherty, that type of caliber of player, then you got to start broadening your horizons and saying, well, maybe we don't have to wait until 5:55 of the trade deadline
take
whatever is there.
Scott Harris blew another trade deadline. If they don't spend in the winter, the team will go nowhere. Nick in Plymouth. And again, he could have come out and said that's part of the plan. He didn't. He didn't want to ever pin himself down to making real big boy major league decisions. Instead, it's only July. We got to finish the year. And then the offseason's got to be, well, one move at a time. And I think it's early. It's not yet the winter. I don't expect them to be movers and shakers at a high level this winter either.
Well, they've never done it.
Right. So then that only casts greater doubt into how competitive they'll be in 2025, which means there's a chance 2025 is 2024 2.0, which, John, I can already see the frustration.
It is. It's immensely frustrating to know that next year could be a carbon copy of this year. And maybe, you know, Cole Keith is more consistent. And, you know, Justin Henry Molloy, maybe he finds a better rhythm. And you've got some guys that can do that. But are we going to hear the same thing? Well, we don't want to block more young bats so that we can develop, you know, and add to the core that we have in Keith and in Green. And, you know, when are we going to see? I know the rehab assignment is about to start or has started for Meadows, but when is he a part of it or not? Early on, it sure didn't seem like it, and we've only got three other games to go on where he was 4 of 11, looked good, but what do we have?
Love to ask Scott at some point.